Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and good afternoon, and welcome to West Side Visions on Blog Talk Radio. I am Brother Tony Bullock, and I'm hoping that everyone had a nice, peaceful, comfortable Turkey Day celebration. Enough food, enough football, and enough family. And everyone enjoyed themselves. As you guys know, here in America and around the world, we had some things going on that was just another day in politics and another day in the place we call the world. So, as many of you here in the U.S. know, today there was a service for a former First Lady, Rosalynn Carter, that the public was invited to, and that several former First Ladies attended. And first and foremost, condolences and prayers go out to the Carter family, because these were two people that when President Carter was in the White House, he and his wife did their ample best for the country we call America. And even though a lot of people have issues with his administration, that has nothing to do with the services that took part today. And one of the things that bothered me was the fact that there were people out there wanting to protest at her funeral because of what's going on in the Middle East, which, I'm sorry, not cool whatsoever. There's a time for politics and a time when to just stand your butts on the sideline and mind your own business. Today was that day. Now, there were five former First Ladies who attended Mrs. Carter's services: Mrs. Biden, Mrs. Obama, Mrs. Bush, Mrs. Clinton, and, of course, the wife of 45, Mrs. Trump. And it was a memorial that took place in Atlanta. Former President Carter was wheeled into the church in a wheelchair with a blanket wrapped around his legs, and of course he was positioned in the front row, as well he should have. The other First Ladies were either dressed in dark blue or black attire, and of course Mrs. 45 was dressed in a gray coat. Services were held at Glenn Memorial United Methodist Church on the campus of Emory University. Judy Woodruff, Rosalynn Carter, and Jimmy Carter's daughter Amy and their grandson Jason delivered eulogies, which was a beautiful thing to do. But for those protesters outside, that wasn't the time or the place, people. However you felt about politics, that was not the moment for it at all, period. And those who tend to lean on the GOP side, I can hear and see you now, because disrespectful is what y'all do. And trust and believe, all politics aside, That was disrespectful. So tonight, thought I'd bag it up a little bit. Talk about three earlier presidents we had and maybe some of the things that might have went on that kind of put us on the path to where we are today. That would be 43, 44, and of course, 45. The guy that just seems to keep it stirred up. 91 indictments, twice impeached, a track record all over the country when it comes to dealing with the law. And that's a good thing about it. Let's talk about 43, 44, and 45. And in all honesty, what I did was took a look at those three and, of course, tried to see what they did positive. Because one thing about the GOP is going to GOP. And when it comes to positivity, you really have to dig deep to find any in them. That's just how they roll. Finding positivity in a GOP is not an easy thing because they don't look for it. They don't really try to have it. Now, back in the day, you had a lot of Republicans who truly believed in working across the aisle. But as years have gone by and we've gotten into these new generations, they don't believe in it. They believe in starting a brush fire and turning it into a forest fire. So let's look back to when number 43, George Bush was in office. One of the things I found that was he led the UN efforts in creating a global fund, believe it or not, to fight AIDS. Now, at the time, the United Nations Secretary General was Kofi Annan, and that was early 2001. And after sitting down talking with him, the United States became the first contributor to a global fund to fight HIV and AIDS, pledging $200 million. Now, that amount more than doubled the next year, but Bush felt the problem required more spending and believed the UN was not speedy enough in its efforts. 2002, he unveiled the Mother and Child HIV Prevention Initiative, targeting 1 million mothers in Africa and in the Caribbean for treatment in an effort to save the lives of 150,000 babies. Now, a lot of people are going to look at that and go, well, you know, he was just trying to do the main thing. But that's what he was supposed to do, do the right thing. I can guarantee you, 45 would never have taken that kind of step. But again, this was back in the days when Republicans and Democrats still believed to a certain extent that you could do bipartisan work and get some things done. It wasn't always done without an issue. It wasn't always done without a problem. But again, they did realize that sometimes strange bedfellows get things done. He then pushed to the vote $15 billion over the next 5 years, and that those funds would go to drugs and medical care for about 10 million patients, and also help millions of children orphaned by their parents' death from AIDS. At that time, it was considered the largest health initiative to ever target one single disease. Bush's, and it was called PEPFAR. That effort received strong bipartisan support, just what I was talking about. He got support from Democrats. He got support from Republicans. They all reached across the aisle to work together on this initiative. The initiative became known as the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, or PEPFAR. He selected 12 countries in sub-Saharan Africa and two in the Caribbean to receive the help and announced it in his 2003 State of the Union address. The bill passed the House of Representatives the following May, 375 to 41. 40 of the no votes, of course, came from his fellow Republicans, but it was otherwise a popular bipartisan effort. And the thing about it is it proved to be an impressive achievement. In 2007, the program was considered successful that the president asked for funding increase totaling $30 billion for the following five-year period. In 2008, $39 billion was marked for it, because it had been so successful. And remember, this wasn't done here in the United States. This was done in the Caribbean and in sub-Sahara African countries. Why? Because as quiet as it's kept, when AIDS first came out, that's where it hit the hardest. And where it hit the hardest was in villages of women and children, where men just felt like they could go in, take advantage of these women, take advantage of these children. And for those of us who served in militaries or were lucky enough to work for the federal government in different parts of the country, as I was, and all my service was not military connected, even though I did serve in the military. I also served other parts of the government in other countries. We know these things to be true. And I know I have to laugh from time to time when people love to say, "Oh, you don't really know nothing. You served in the military and that was it. You didn't do nothing else." You have no idea where I've done and what I've been, what I choose to tell you. Now, among that accomplishment, one of the other things that they listed, and I kind of found this to be funny, but then I had to remember where it was from and why they felt it was such a big accomplishment. One of the big accomplishments they said about George was that he was the 46th governor of Texas, which is true. He had attended Yale University and graduated with a bachelor's art in history in 1968. Now, after that, he pursued an MBA from Harvard Business School and is the only American president to have earned an MBA. 1978, he ran for the House of Representatives from the 19th Congressional District, but he lost that election with a 46.8% of the vote. And he ran against Kent Hans, who came in at 53.2%. Now, you do stupid stuff. And that is exactly what the Republican Party is doing. Stupid stuff. the dumber they can make it, the worse they will do. That's how they get down. They have no intentions on doing anything for the government, working across the aisle to make things better for the people in this country. As many of you know, they're talking about trying to take away Social Security. Me, like other people who have paid our dues, put in the work, want our money. We worked for it. We've been taxed on it. We paid into FICA and everything else you could think of. And now, because the Republican Party wants to find a way to basically divvy it up amongst themselves and play games with it, I'm supposed to put my time in, work hard to build whatever little nest egg I can get to help balance me out in these later years. And y'all want to try to take that too? Don't get mad at me because you gave tax breaks to the rich and then they threw y'all a few coins and left it at that. Because we know that's what the deal is. We know that's exactly what the game is, what y'all playing. Like I said, they can't govern, so they do really silly stuff. Now, something else that caught my eyes today was Chris Christie, who is, you know, another one of those folks who says he's running for president, has now said he would not sign a 6-week national abortion ban. Now, he's vying for the 2024 Republican nomination, made these comments on CNN this morning, telling the host, Phil Mattingly, that there is no consensus around such a ban that any decision should remain with the people. He says his view is this: I want the people, not the politicians, to make this decision. So let people vote in the states. We see a great exercise in democracy going on around the country.